This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
I think the Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers are the two really good teams. In fact, I'm probably changing my Super Bowl pick to mirror what Sam Farnsworth from KSL. That's his pick. I'm probably going to copy that pick now.
Never going to pick / root for the Chiefs.
Ever. You don't have to pick. You don't have to root for them, but you can pick them.
Nope.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
What time is it?
It's half past the hour and time to talk Utah Jazz.
Oh, Donovan!
This is your Jazz at 30 update.
Ring the 30-point bell.
Jazz have now lost four in a row after a disappointing loss to the Cavaliers, in which the Jazz are blown out 111 to 91. 91 points. Not a good night offensively for the Utah Jazz, as Quinn Snyder knows this team needs to be better and realized a lot of their shortcomings came in the second half.
Well, I thought what I mentioned before offensively, we just made it harder on ourselves than it needed to be, where the ball would stick instead of moving it quickly, shooting it. And we get into some isolation situations, which aren't bad, but usually beating your man to create for someone else, you know, is what we talked about. And, you know, on the defensive end, they wore us down a little bit inside, put us in some situations that we're just not as familiar with that group. If you've got smalls playing post D and trying to help there, and then the ball's coming out and they started making some shots. Garland hit some shots. I thought Stevens slashing to the rim hurt us and hit a couple mid-range shots too. So, but when you're not playing well on both ends of the floor, that's the result.
This update brought to you by Five Star Painting. Refresh the inside or outside of your home with a five-star experience with Five Star Painting. They got the time, skills, and tools. FiveStarPainting.com. That's FiveStarPainting.com.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on the Zone Sports Network, brought to you by Zero Res, the only carpet cleaner for a smarter lasting clean. Patented process uses only water to clean, meaning no crunchy carpets and a spot-free carpet that's safe for the whole family. Schedule your appointment today. Call 801-288-9376 or go online, ZeroResSaltLake.com. Or if you're up north, ZeroResDavisWeber.com.
I know we give the Raiders a hard time, and we joke a little bit to get a rise out of our producer, but I got to tell you, man, I'm a big fan of Darren Waller. He's the tight end for the Raiders, yep. And he just returned. He's been dealing with left knee and back injury, and he also had a positive COVID test, so he went into protocol. So he's been out of the game for a while, but he returned this last weekend. And after the game, he was talking about his fight for sobriety. Apparently, he's an extreme addict, and he has really dealt with some addiction and illness, some real illness.
Wow.
So post-game, he had a couple of interesting things to say, and I love this, and I wanted to mention these quotes because anybody out there who's dealing with addiction, they probably know exactly where he's coming from. And this is not a guy that just hopes things will get better. Listen to this. He said, because of my disease of addiction that can have me thinking all kinds of crazy things. So I've got to make sure that I'm talking about those things when I have all this idle time, when he was down with those injuries, Scotty. I've got my therapist. He said, I stay going to my AA meetings. I stay in my playbook. I continue working on music. Just staying solid, keeping my head out of that idle time and just into things that I enjoy and stay into the game of football as much as I can. So here's a guy that understands, okay, I've got addiction. Well, he doesn't just think to himself, well, I'm going to do this myself. He's got his therapist. He doesn't miss his AA meetings. This is a guy that's got millions of dollars, and you would think that he's got his entire world in order. But addiction beats all of that. Mm-hmm. When you got a little bit of downtime and you got a couple of pills that you could throw in the back of your throat, or you got a couple of bottles of liquor that you can suck back on.
And it's so readily available, too.
And it's readily available.
It's handed out like candy.
And you know you're not at practice tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you know you're not playing a game this weekend. So, hey, why not? And then he went on further, and I didn't grab the exact quotes, but he talked about the mental illness side of things, where his brain starts telling him, well, you're not even playing this week, and your team's doing good. What are you even worth?
That's a good point.
And he actually talked about what we know exists, because it doesn't matter what level you played sports, you know it exists. When you're off the field and your team's playing well, it starts to play mind games with you. Like, do they even need me? Do they even care that I'm out there? And then he went into the reality of it. And he's like, no, my therapist reminds me. Absolutely, I have worth. And I have worth to this team.
Wow.
And I have worth to this world. And so I loved his words. And I love that he acknowledged these things. And I love the type of player he is. He is the greatest receiving mismatch in the NFL right now, when he's healthy, in my opinion.
More than Kelsey?
Yeah, more than Kelsey. More than Kelsey, more than Kittle. He is the greatest mismatch. His hand strength, his arm length, his upper body strength, his cuts in route. You can man him. You can combo him. As long as that ball is put in an area that it can't be intercepted, he gets it when he's healthy.
Well, that's a problem. Then you need a good quarterback play.
That's why I threw that in.
That was
you got a quarterback that can deliver it.
If you got a guy who can deliver it where it needs to be.
But instead, you have Derek Carr. So you're going to have a first-round exit.
Lloyd, you feeling confident this weekend?
You know what? I actually am. I am. Like, I went back. Like, you look at that Bengals score, and it was like 32-13. That wasn't a good indicator. It was like a 16-13 game with like 12 minutes left in the game. Like, they had a interception and a fumble with short yards where they scored. Like, it wasn't as lopsided. The Raiders are going to win. I'm feeling so confident about it, I might go to Wendover.
Whoa. Don't do that.
How about this?
Let me advise you
against
that.
Let's just do a little ramen.
I don't know, man. You've been there lately?
Uh-oh. Is it dropped off?
Yeah, it's dropped off.
Oh.
Yeah. We could do something else maybe. But not. No.
All right, so lunch bet?
Yeah, let's do a lunch bet.
What's dropped out?
Hey,
why
do you want to? Right? You're a Raider guy now. What are you talking about? Why do you want to bet against the Raiders?
Come on, I'm not a Raiders guy. That was altered audio. That was incriminating audio.
Raiders are gonna. They're gonna win. Even Burrow, he only had like 148 yards. Jamar Chase, he only had like 3 receptions. He had 2 touchdowns.
All right, over under passing yards for Joe Burrow, 345. I will take the over.
I'll take the under.
Let's go to even 4.
Yeah, let's just even but 4.
Let's go even 4.
I
do think the Raiders win this week.
Hey, are the Raiders going to hire this?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't even. I can't even remember his name. It looks like. I don't know.
He was their special teams coach.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they should. I don't care that they got to the playoffs. I don't think the rumor out there
is Harbaugh to Vegas.
I think that quieted down. The rumors led more
Miami.
towards the Bears, I think.
I actually heard Vegas had interest in Fangio, so we'll see.
Stop. Shut your mouth.
Scotty, let's be honest. This weekend, Raiders versus the Bengals. If they don't beat the Bengals, that's just a shame and a ridiculous loss.
There we go.
So
bring it on.
The Raiders should absolutely win.
On the road, they should absolutely.
And if they lose to the Bengals, come on. They didn't even belong in the postseason.
If they don't win by more than 2 touchdowns, major disappointment.
Yep. All right, let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
A publicist suing LaMelo Ball, claiming the NBA star owes her millions after he signed a lucrative contract with Puma but never gave her a cut of the deal. Amber Johnson spelled out the allegations in a new lawsuit, says that part of their working relationship, Ball and his camp agreed to give her a 10% cut of any deal that she found for the Hooper. She also said they agreed to reimburse her for any out-of-pocket expenses while working on projects. Said a short time later, she helped Ball sign a contract with a streaming service called Caffeine. Following that deal in 2019, she began talking to Puma about working with Ball. In her suit, Johnson said she helped facilitate communication between LaMelo and the shoe company, which resulted in a $100 million contract.
10% of that ain't bad.
She was also never reimbursed for $4,800 in expenses from helping LaMelo in other projects. She's asking for damages in excess of $10 million. You're not getting any of that.
If she doesn't have a signature.
If you don't have a contract.
No.
No.
if you just talked about it, I don't know how much Judge Judy you watch, but I watch two episodes every day.
Really?
Religiously.
You know who's got a new judge show? The dude from Family Feud, Steve Harvey, apparently now is able to do a judge show. I thought you had to be an actual judge.
He's a judge?
Terrible.
Oh, jeez. Stop mocking the occupation.
Well, I mean, I think Judge Judy does that
enough. No, she does not. She is the best all time. I wish she was the president of the United States, and we'd get things done around here, because Judge Judy don't play. And if you watch Judge Judy, if there's not a signature on a contract, don't waste my time. If you don't have, but we had a conversation and she heard the conversation. I don't care who she is. She's dumb. And you're dumb for even bringing it to the table. If you don't got a contract, don't start a lawsuit.
For all you kids out there, get it in writing.
Because you claim that she talked about it, right? Is that what you claim?
There was a verbal conversation.
Yeah, that's not going anywhere.
No.
Should have got that one in writing. Now you're just going to waste a lot of money. And
yep.
Most attorneys will fight it with the intent of only being paid if you get paid, though, right?
Well, yeah. Endorsement deals, yeah. Well, I don't know. That's, injury lawyers that will say that. But, you know, divorce lawyers, they're going to get an hourly rate. This isn't going to work out for her.
Nope.
And I think what she's hoping is that she'll run his name through the mud enough that he'll just settle and give her, here, I'm going to give you $1 million just to be quiet and go away.
Oh, that, please don't do that. If it was negotiated that she gets 10% of whatever deal she brings to the table and the balls are not giving her her money, then I hope she wins that suit.
I do too.
Had to rephrase.
I know. That's good on your part. All right. There you go. Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5. So, coming up next.
You talk for 3 hours a day.
I know. It happens.
I'm just glad that
we do 15 hours of live radio a week.
Glad that I was able to catch that.
We used to do 20.
Navigate around it.
No. See, that's why you're the best in the business.
Oh, man. I just want to keep us employed, buddy.
All right. We got a good thing going. Let's not screw it up.
I agree.
This is the Zone Sports Network.
The whole world in our hands. You got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. You've got you and me, brother.
.97.5, 1280, The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. It's time for another edition of Whole World News. But remember, Hans.
Oh, you're going to do it?
I'm going to do it, yeah. You can purchase a Ford Fan Zone all-you-can-eat ticket to an upcoming game and receive unlimited hot dogs, soda, popcorn, nachos, and ice cream. Starting for as low as $30 per ticket, visit utahjazz.com or call 325-2999 to get your Ford Fan Zone all-you-can-eat ticket right now.
Lloyd, you and Scotty took the over 9.5 game win streak. I took the under.
No, really? Might win that one.
Might get that one, but
did we have a over under on a losing streak?
No, we did not. But if we put something together like 8 or 9 this year, then we got to make that number. We got to set that number for next year.
Yeah.
But I was looking at some of our college football preseason predictions.
We need to recap that, don't we?
Yeah, we will. One of them was how many teams finish in the AP top 25. That was one of our questions.
Wow.
You and I had 2. Somebody thought that only Utah was going to finish the top 25. Of course, we're all wrong because all 3 finished in the top 25. Anyways, Scotty, whole world news today. Crazy. So this young couple, newly married in Maryland, they're out house hunting, and they're in the area that they really want, but they can't afford it. They come across a house that's about $65,000 under where all the other houses are on the market, and they're like, oh, awesome.
Murder, suicide.
So they slip in, and they get this house.
Yeah.
And the realtor's like, great job. You got it. offer was accepted. Congratulations. They go home and they start researching it.
Oh, boy.
So, Scotty, back in 1949, a 14-year-old boy living in this home was possessed by a demon. A Catholic priest came into this home to perform a very controversial exorcism at the time. It was one of the first demonic possessions that resulted in documentation of things flying around the room. This young boy screaming at the priest in Latin, where he'd never, no, don't, where he'd never studied Latin. Can I just get through the story? Because this story is interesting.
Yeah.
And this whole possession went through. In 1971, a Harvard student took that story and wrote a book about that possession, which turned into the movie Exorcism.
It's the Exorcism?
It's the Exorcism. This is the house where the original Exorcism took place that led to the movie Exorcism.
But it was a boy, not a girl.
But it was a boy. It was actually a 14-year-old boy.
Was there anything about like projectile vomiting?
Did not have that in the actual documentation of the 1949 case that took place in this house that they bought.
Okay, you know what?
The head didn't spin, you know.
You know what I call this? Investment property. You flip that thing into an Airbnb and say you get to stay in the house for the Exorcist. Come on, there's going to be a lot of weirdos out there that are going to want to take an opportunity for that.
I'm not even, there might be.
Yeah.
I guess there might be. The young couple's trying to embrace it because they bought the house. They know that the value is down on it. It was $65,000 less than anything else square footage wise. So nobody else wanted the house because of the level of possession that happened in that home. But my question to you is, Scotty, let's say, Jeffrey Dahmer's home where he mutilated and ate part of people came available and you're just newly married and it's $60,000 less than any other home in that neighborhood. Knowing what Jeffrey Dahmer did in that home, would you knowingly buy it?
For some reason, the Exorcist house, I'm fine with, because I really don't buy that anything really happened there.
Even though you're dealing with what you're dealing with?
Oh, come on. Any kid can start spitting out some pig Latin and be fine. You know, come on. Are you really buy that happened? But Dahmer
ate. O de uchte, I may ed be.
Yeah.
It wasn't pig Latin.
Did anybody in 49 really know what like real Latin really was? So, but Dahmer like ate a dude in a house. Like I can't live there.
Oh,
but yeah, give me the Exorcist house. I got no, nothing's gonna happen.
Okay, now what if Dahmer ate dogs?
What?
Stop it, Lloyd.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Now that's more up Scotty's alley.
No. I did, Lloyd, when you were gone on Monday, I did tell Hans about that story that got away from me a bit while he was gone.
Yeah,
about the bear.
So, Hans, when you leave, just know that I'm going to be just tortured with dog stories.
Oh, did
it
you
happens
get
every time.
What happened? Scotty got you a dog story?
No, it was that bear that picked up the
dog.
Oh,
and they couldn't even find the dog.
Yeah.
Well, the bear was upset because the lady smacked him or bit him. Didn't the lady bite him?
Yeah, the lady bit the bear. The bear was like, wow, this lady's not messing around. So he picks up the dog, puts it in one of those tinfoil things where they turn into a goose and then just
he did not put it in a tinfoil pack. Oh my gosh. You got something to go, like a styrofoam case or?
By the way, that was Alex Carey's joke. Hey, we got to get to the bottom. What beef does Unrivaled have with us? Because somebody tweeted us yesterday that said Unrivaled was running us through the ground a bit. You know what the story is behind that?
No, I haven't heard a word about it.
I was in Fort Collins, so I wasn't able to hear. So,
Lloyd, anything?
It might have been our re-rank.
Oh, on our top 10?
Yeah, it might have been the re-rank.
Oh, so they're just seeing that people were ripping on us on a Twitter, so they're like, well, we'll just follow the
sheep out
there.
Too, so.
Oh.
Okay, well, that's low-hanging fruit. Come on, guys.
Let me guess. Scott Mitchell wanted 10 Utes.
Yeah, he's like...
You're spot on.
Yeah. Big surprise.
He wanted four quarterbacks on there.
Does anybody really play football outside of what's going on the Hill?
Why are there offensive linemen on their list?
That's actually something that was said.
That's crazy. Coming from a guy that would be an offensive lineman in today's game. What?
What are you doing? There's the line, and you.
Oh, whatever.
All right. Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280, The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. And we're off. Matt's joining us now. We're live here at My Hearing Center, 801-438-7058. The Signia AX, the world's first hearing aid platform with dual processors. Talk about that kind of technology, because I'm looking at the pack here. That doesn't seem like something that's going to be able to hold that kind of technology, but it does.
Well, we do know it's not possessed.
Yeah.
I mean, start not. There we go.
There we go. I turned up hands mic there.
Yeah, we do know it's not possessed, so we don't need to worry about that. The whole world news is the hardest transition for me.
It always is.
Going
I know.
It's the hardest for us, too.
Going from whatever hands is brought up for the day into talking about hearing aids and trying to relate it back is really difficult.
It's always tough.
But, yes, we've got a great product. It's the Signia AX. This has dual processor technology. It's got a charger that lasts three extra days. It's the smallest hearing aid with the most power. And we want you to try it out. And if it's not for yourself, we want your loved one to try this out risk-free for 30 days. All you need to do is give us a call, 801-438-7058. Schedule in any of our offices up and down the Wasatch Front. And you'll also be entered into a drawing for a free set of these hearing aids.
So you have 30 days to take these things out for a test drive.
30 days? You're not going to get that from the car dealerships.
Nope.
Right? There's not a lot of medical devices that you actually get to try for 30 days.
That's true.
Before you can make a decision on whether or not you want to keep them. I mean, once you get the pacemaker, it's kind of there.
That's a long test.
The hip replacement. They're like, you know what? Not feeling it. Just
pop that guy out.
Yeah.
And that's what's fun about this because, you know, one of the major barriers to somebody getting help with their hearing loss is they're not quite sure that a hearing aid is going to work for them. They've heard horror stories. You know, there's a lot of kind of, I'll call them mock hearing aids. Some we call them amplification devices, where it kind of looks like a duck, but doesn't quack like a duck.
Mm-hmm.
Here people have tried those out and they've had bad experiences, and that's why we come in and we'll show you the difference between something you're just going to buy off of Amazon or a product that's an actual medical device that's fit by a medical professional, and what the difference is going to be in your life. And that's the fun part, is we give you the 30 days to really experience it.
801-438-7058. Call right now, and it all begins with a free test, free hearing evaluation.
Yeah, free hearing evaluation. And this isn't, you know, a 15-minute quick phone call, fill out a paper. This is a good hour that we're going to spend with you doing a battery of tests. One of those is a test that we started doing. It's a speech discrimination and noise test where we can actually understand how much you can't hear in a noisy environment. We can take that test and relate that back to what your risk levels are of developing dementia and other issues later in life.
Ooh.
And so part of it's going to help you understand, hey, if you don't do something about this now, what's your risk factors and what's that going to cost you later in life as well? So I know that sounds a little scary, but it also can help you avoid other issues by simply coming in for a free hearing evaluation.
801-438-7058. Call that number right now, 801-438-7058, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280, The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all having a tremendous day as we get you ready for the NFL playoffs. He hosts the fantasy football podcast on Locked On, the Locked On Network. Also, an NFL writer for the Sporting News for a long time. Vinny Iyer, kind enough to join us. Vinny, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
So what game do you look at as the signature game this weekend, the game that you're looking forward to the most?
it's got to be 49ers Cowboys, right? I mean,
yeah,
for all of us to throw back to the 80s and 90s and before then, this was the premier playoff matchup in the NFC for the most part. I mean, they played in so many championship games. They played a divisional playoff game, first wild card game between these two. So it's been a long time coming, but Cowboys 49ers, something about those uniforms, the way these teams play, and it should be an exciting game on top of that. I mean, the current addition of both teams, very good offenses.
Do you give the Raiders any chance against the Bengals this weekend?
It's going to be tough. I mean, that game, I think, is going to have some effects on them. I think they were on the field defensively for 70 plays or something. They're going into overtime, and that's a short turnaround. And it's only a six-day turnaround for them. They got to go on the road, play the first game on Saturday. The Bengals were able to rest players there in their game against the Browns. So it seems like two teams going in opposite directions here. I know Raiders, I think they should just be proud of the way they finished the season, got into the playoffs. I don't think anyone expect them to do that, overachieve down the stretch and get those four wins in a row. So they should be happy about that. I think there's bigger things that could come for the Raiders if they make some bigger changes. But maybe Joe Burrow and the Bengals starting something special here in Cincinnati.
If there's a dark horse that you look at in terms of a team that could make a run to a Super Bowl in their respective conference, who would those? Who would that team be?
Well, I think we mentioned two of them already. I think you look at the quarterbacks who can crash the party. We know Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Is it going to be Josh Allen next? He had a shot last year. Or do you look at Dak Prescott, who's playing at a high level on the Cowboys, and maybe survive that game, maybe give the Buccaneers another great game there in the divisional round and get their shot at the Packers? So that's a team to watch. And then you look at Joe Burrow. I mean, you have to say he's the emerging one in the AFC. I mean, we were all locked into Justin Herbert for quite a while, but then there are things that happened there late in the season that you tilted back to Joe Burrow as that next big AFC passer that can maybe challenge Mahomes. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see. I think it's a quarterback-driven league. It's going to be a quarterback-driven playoffs. And if you don't have one, if you're in the company of maybe Mac Jones or at this point Ben Roethlisberger, you're not going to be in the same class as some of these other teams in the playoffs.
I'm glad you brought up Mac Jones. I'm kind of wondering if best case scenario for the NFL would be the Patriots versus the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But I think that's lost a lot of steam here. I mean, the Patriots look like they might be the number one seed. It's kind of interesting what happened to the AFC. The Ravens at one point were number one. They're not in the playoffs. We thought the Chiefs were going to take it. Then they faded to number two. We thought the Patriots are going to be there. And then they fell all the way to number six. So that changes things. When you're the sixth team versus being one or two, a lot harder to get there. You're not getting the two home playoff games there. You're starting it on the road and staying on the road. So that's very difficult to do for any team. I know the Buccaneers were able to do it last year, but they also had Tom Brady and a very top-level team, where I think the Patriots, you look at their resume, it's a little bit questionable. They have one signature win, I would say, is the win over the Titans, but everything else, beating up their division and still lost, I mean, three out of four games to the Dolphins and Bills. So it's tough there that you look at the Patriots maybe making a run, but Mac Jones is just rookie quarterbacks at that level just don't fare well in the playoffs.
Does this playoffs intrigue you more than maybe in years past? Because there does seem so much. I mean, you look across the board, you can make a case for a bunch of teams to not only go to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. Does that make you a little bit more intrigued than maybe in years past when it felt like there were two or three just more dominant teams than everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things have contributed to that. I think we know the salary cap era has changed a lot of things over the last few decades. But the biggest thing that's changing now is that a lot of teams are figuring out quarterback. The more high-level quarterbacks there are and teams to solve that position, there are going to be more teams in play to contend. And that's what you saw. I mean, Justin Herbert, one of the best in the league still, and he's sitting at home here. He's not playing in the playoffs. So that's how competitive it's become. I know there's some teams in there on the back end that you question, but then you look at Jalen Hurts. He's done some things here for the Eagles to get them at this point with his legs and arm at certain points in the season. So it's other season guys or guys up and coming at quarterback. You have to have one of those, it seems like, to win and win enough and win big in the playoffs.
Obviously, Eric Weddle's a huge storyline here in the state of Utah, coming from the University of Utah. And he did an entire year of radio with Scotty and I last year, just kind of going through the NFL season, and we had a blast with him. So insightful. It was just announced yesterday that he's signing a contract and going to play with the Rams, see if he can help them against the Cardinals or at any point through this postseason. What do you expect from a signing like Eric Weddle, and where the Rams had an injury in that position? Should we expect to see Eric coming up on Monday against the Cardinals?
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that they needed him pretty badly here to make this move quickly. And, yeah, they haven't been great at safety all year, and they've had some issues there as well, keeping bodies around. So I may be looking for a little bit more experience on the back end, some playoff winning experience as well. So I think that was a good move. And you try to get all those players that you can that make sense for your team and your scheme and what you're trying to do. So I think the Rams did find that type of player. And it's going to be tough for them to navigate all this. I think it was much harder now when you look at being a number four versus the number two, what they were. I mean, again, I know you don't get that bye, but you have those two playoff games at home that make a big difference here. So I think the Rams will be solid, but I think that Cardinals game is pretty much a toss-up between two teams that split the regular season series.
You like the new format where now, I mean, it used to be your top two seeds got that bye. Now you're now even the number two team in each conference is playing on Wild Card Weekend. Do you like this setup?
Well, it just gives us more football in the early rounds. And so, like, selfishly, that's great for us. It's probably not great if you're fighting for the number two seed and you don't get much reward from it. But, yeah, there is something that comes with it. I think two versus three is still a big difference here, even though you don't get the bye week. And home field is important, and you should be fighting for that till the end. It just happened to be that the Packers had already wrapped it up, and the Titans still had to fight into Week 18.
So as we look at the postseason starting to shape up, we talked a little bit about Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. What is your expectations from the Buccaneers? Do you expect Tom Brady just to be typical postseason Tom Brady?
Well, it's going to be difficult. They're going to have to manufacture offense in different ways, and I think they did that last year quite a bit with the running game. Leonard Fournette should be back for this game from his hamstring injury, so that's going to be big. He was playoff Lenny last year, as everyone knows, and the run that they made with him. So it's going to be a little different because no Chris Godwin, no Antonio Brown. You're not as fearful of that passing game. You still have to deal with Mike Evans and Rob Gronkowski. A lot of people would love to fall back on those two guys if you'd lost the people in your receiving corps. So it should be a lot of fun to see what Tom Brady can do. I think the Bucs probably won't be challenged this week against the Eagles. I don't think it's a very good matchup for them on the road. But next week, if you get in that Cowboys matchup, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We saw how great week one was between those two teams, so that could be a lot of fun. And you get Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady playing in the championship game. So I'm just excited to see how it all plays out. Right now I feel the best about the Packers and Chiefs, but anybody, I think, with high-level quarterback play can win this thing, and it wouldn't surprise me at all.
So I think people were a little taken back, not necessarily that the Giants fired fired Joe Judge, but that they waited so long to do it. And then today, Houston fires their head coach, which is a little late in the game as well. But could that mean that they have a bit of a handshake agreement with Brian Flores, knowing that, okay, if we can get him, then we're going to go ahead and fire our coach?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you probably don't expect to fire a coach and look at it, but it's very tough here. I mean, these teams that don't have any continuity, they're so quick on the trigger to get rid of their coaches, and it's not the one thing that's going to solve all your problems. You have to just look at fundamental issues, your organization, top to bottom. These teams just grow impatient very fast, and if they see something that the grass is greener somewhere else and suddenly someone is available that wasn't, it's going to make a team change direction. So I don't think that's the way they should operate. They should give coaches a few years. Like, if the Bengals had given up on Zach Taylor like they were thinking about last year, they wouldn't have seen this breakthrough happen with actually Joe Burrow there. So the Texans are an impatient organization. I'm not sure they're a confident organization right now, given the way things have played out for them the past year and a half. So that's my concern if you're a coach there. Will you get the support needed to win, or is it going to be just another clash of minds and philosophies that doesn't work out?
We don't see Wentz back as the quarterback for the Colts next year, do we?
Well, it's going to be tough because the contract is pretty big. I think the out really is the next year that you can move him, and that's a problem. You get stuck with these contracts here. So I think it's very similar to the Kirk Cousins situation in Minnesota, where you're probably stuck with him for another year unless you can do some restructuring and move him in some deals. So it's going to be tough to do that. And they also can't justify that because they threw away a first-round pick and more capital to get him. So I think they'll probably give him a second year. Colts fans might be impatient with that. But I don't know where else they can go that's financially responsible unless they just say, we're going to try to force Wentz on somebody else and try to get our first-round pick back.
What do you see as Dan Quinn had his run in Atlanta, went to a Super Bowl, blew the lead in the Super Bowl, and then was fired by the Falcons eventually. But it sure seems like his stock is running high. Is he? I guess Brian Flores is probably your number one guy that people want right now, but is he a close second?
Yeah, I mean, Dan Quinn, I think he probably enjoys coaching the Cowboys, but I think he would get an opportunity, and if it's the right opportunity, he would come back to coach. And you got to remember that this guy, another one, like different coaches in his tree, like Kyle Shanahan getting to the Super Bowl. You had Ron Rivera do that, and Washington kind of picked him up right away when Carolina let him go. But these guys got there for a reason. They're guys that can coach at that high level. So I'm just surprised. I think part of these organizations' thinking is that if it takes too long and they don't build on it, then let's go in a different direction. But I kind of see what the Cowboys did right there with Mike McCarthy. Here's a guy, he did get to the Super Bowl. I don't care how things may have soured with Aaron Rodgers. He knew what he was doing at some point to win it all. So you love guys like that with a track record, and usually they pan out in the right situation the second time.
Has Aaron Rodgers been has him being a storyline, a constant storyline, has it been a bad thing for the NFL, or has it been a good thing for the NFL? I guess that's a little bit of a loaded question, but it just feels like the controversy surrounding him has been pretty ugly.
Yeah, I think this is a little bit of a conspiracy theory of mine, but I think he's done this to maybe take attention away from the Packers and their run here. And you saw how they played. They were pretty focused and methodical. There's some games that they broke down in, and we saw missing the game. They lost that game to the Chiefs. Then you saw early this season, they just weren't ready against the Saints and just got destroyed in that game. But really, for most of the other parts of the season, they've been pretty consistent. They've avoided the outside noise. And the funny thing is, they are favorites and everyone's looking at them, but everyone's talking about Buccaneers or Cowboys or Chiefs or some of these other teams in the playoffs. So I don't know if it was a calculated move to get the contract that he wanted first and then maybe say, look, you got to get something done with Devontae Adams. I don't know if he was playing them a little bit and also motivating them at the same time, because he's an interesting, odd guy to say the least, but it seems like he always needs to create some kind of motivation for himself and his team. And we'll see if that plays out. And if they win the Super Bowl, then it was all worth it for them.
Is he back in a Packers uniform next year?
This one's a tough question. I really do not know. I think part of it is he's going to hold them accountable. Are you going to franchise tag Devontae Adams? Are you going to keep the players he wants? So it's all about if the Packers, depending how far they go in the playoffs, if they want this relationship with him and Matt LaFleur to stay there, do they feel like it has greater upside than trying to start all over? So I think ideally they want to make this work. I think ideally he wants to make it work. But he's going to hold them accountable to making the right moves to make him feel like he's listened to in that organization. That's what he said, so we're just going by that at this point.
The Denver situation is interesting in terms of ownership. Peyton Manning's got a group that apparently he's trying to put together. John Elway's trying to put a group together. Do you see it coming down to one of those two as the new owner of the Broncos?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's definitely some aggressive approaches there. And now the only thing is that I wish they could turn back the clock and put John Elway or Peyton Manning back to their quarterback.
Yes.
I think that would help the Broncos more than anything else. So, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback there. I think those two guys, it'll be good to have that familiarity of Denver legends there taking over the team. But you got to now figured out on the field here to really tap into those days, because the more and more you go, it feels like those days are further and further behind. So you got to find your quarterback solution here. And I think people are tired of going the bridge route and the Paxton Lynch route. Just go get the guy that you feel is right, and maybe it'll happen here at number 9 overall.
Well, Vinny, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to catching up with you again soon. Enjoy the games this weekend.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You got it. Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News, also part on the Locked On Networks, hosts a fantasy football podcast.
Are you up for a Patriots v. Buccaneers Super Bowl? Tom Brady versus Bill Belichick? Grudge match? Who deserves it more?
I would like a Buccaneers-Patriots Super Bowl. Yeah, I could be down for that.
You being serious?
I don't know.
I think I am. Like
it's not.
It's a good storyline.
It doesn't annoy me as much as Georgia Alabama in a national championship game.
No, not as much. No.
Who you'd be cheering for, Tom? Right?
Yeah,
yeah, I would too.
I am impressed that Belichick's got them back into the postseason
with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'm impressed with Mac Jones, but I do think Vinny's right. You put him in a pressure cooker like that, and we'll see how he does in that first year. But I don't think Tom Brady versus Mac Jones in a Super Bowl would be the best outcome for New England. Although Belichick knows every thought that Tom Brady might be rolling through his head at any given moment. Maybe he's able to put the defense out there to make a difference. And Vinny mentioned the two receivers that they're missing, Godwin and Brown. I would say they're okay. I'd say good to okay.
Yeah.
Those are huge targets to miss. Yeah. That's like Alabama missed the two that they had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Matt's hanging out with us. We're live here at My Hearing Center. All you have to do is call 801-438-7058. And, Matt, it all begins with that free hearing assessment.
That's a great place to start. Actually, it probably begins before then. Sorry to contradict you.
I know. This is your baby, man. Contradict away.
I'm going to say it probably all begins with somebody here that's listening, realizing that their loved one is having an issue, and there needs to be a conversation.
Yeah.
Right? Hopefully, if that conversation has happened a couple times, this just makes it easier, because we're going to say, hey, now's a great time to come in, free hearing evaluation. Mm-hmm. 801-438-7058, and allow them to start really understanding how it not just affects their family, how it's affecting themselves, mm-hmm. and how they could benefit from correcting it early.
Do they find that correcting hearing does reduce argument?
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's been a good study on, like, what's the amount of less argument you have when you correct your hearing, but we have seen that individuals, there have been studies out there on divorce rates for people that decide not to get their hearing checked. I don't have that right in front of me, and I'm sure that has a lot.
But it does show there's impact.
Yeah, there's an absolute impact on that, on your level of developing depression later in life as well. There's impacts on your overall salary.
So
a person that doesn't correct their hearing loss actually has a lower salary opportunity than somebody that does.
That's what it is.
Right? Yeah, that's what I blame it on. So hearing can affect depression.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And what it is it, you know, there's a couple reasons for it, but it's the social isolation that comes from not being able to hear. You don't hear. You don't want to be embarrassed. Next option is to just not participate. And when you stop participating, you're depressed. Your life gets worse.
Yeah. Makes sense.
801-438-7058. We're not talking about an inconvenience. These are massive issues you're talking about here. And you're giving away a free set of these hearing aids to one of the first 30 people to call in and schedule an appointment right now at 801-438-7058.
That's right. Call for yourself. Call for your loved one. Just get on the schedule so you can get in the drawing for those hearing aids. And they're awesome. This is top-end hearing aids we're talking about, and it comes with the full service at the offices. And so you're not just going to be handing you a piece of plastic that you can't do anything with. It's going to come with the service, the testing, the follow-up care that we do for all of our patients. And that's going to be one in those 30 people that call and schedule.
801-438-7058. That's 801-438-7058. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Slow-mo Joe.
What time? time is it?
It's half past the hour and time to talk Utah Jazz.
Oh, Donovan!
This is your Jazz at 30 update.
Ring the 30-point bell.
Oh, boy. Losing streak is now extended to four games to the Utah Jazz after they were blown out at home to the Cleveland Cavaliers last night, 111-101. One bright spot for the Utah Jazz, Eric Pascal, as he caught the attention of Jordan Clarkson.
Just his ability to come in here and impact the game. He was starting, playing early in the season, preseason. First few games of the season was in the rotation, and then, you know, Rudy comes back and, you know, kind of just falls out the rotation. And in these moments, he's a pro. He's been in the league. You see his impact playing with energy. You see him getting stops defensively, rebounding, and making shots, and he plays super hard.
Other news coming out of the Jazz, they have waived two-way forward Malik Fitz after he appeared in seven games for the Utah Jazz. It's your Jazz at 30 update brought to you by Five Star Painting. Refresh the inside or outside of your home with a five-star experience with Five Star Painting. They've got the time, the skills, and the tools to do it right. FiveStarPainting.com, that's FiveStarPainting.com.
360! It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5/1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. It's time for another edition of Sports Roulette. We take some of the biggest storylines and put it on a roulette wheel, spin it. Wherever that little ball lands is what we end up talking about. Got a bunch of stories. I think I'm counting it up. 23 stories today. It might be a record.
Well, it's a big one. And, you know, we might not get to some of these things. We just saw the Jazz with a release and a couple of other things, but it's all on the will, and it's all up to chance.
All right. Jeremy's hanging out with us today. Jeremy, go ahead and spin that thing. Jacked up or very funny? Hands, you make the call.
Actually, I'm going to let you make the call, Scotty. So last night, the Lakers were taking on the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
And the Kings, in their arena, they're up to some shenanigans,
yeah,
some hijinks. So Russell Westbrook comes down to the court, the offensive end of the court,
yeah,
and hoists up a three.
Yep.
It clanks, and all of a sudden you hear just a quick cut, "You're as cold as ice." That was it.
Yeah.
So about two offensive possessions later, Westbrook gets the ball again, clanks it, and you hear, "You're as cold as ice." Every time he shot the ball, the Sacramento Kings front desk DJ would just play a quick cut. Who sings that, "You're as cold as ice"?
Is it Journey? No, who is it? "You're willing to sacrifice your love."
Yeah.
Let's see.
And every time Westbrook would shoot it, he would play
"Foreigner."
"You're as cold as ice." And you could tell. So here's the crazy thing. On a night where Westbrook goes 2 of 14.
Yeah.
So it was playing all night long. And Westbrook did hear it because he addressed it afterwards. He said, "That's funny. That's really funny. I hope they played that the last 14 years too. It's funny that they play that now. That's really cute." He said, "Man, who?" And then somebody said, "Well, your shooting slump is getting pretty ridiculous." He said, "Man, who are you telling? I can't effing hit a shot, boy." And so he knows that the slump's on. He had to hear the "You're as cold as ice." Now, here's the crazy thing. So not only did they do their "cold as ice," not only did they question him about his slump, after the game went final, somebody had built a billboard with Westbrook's face, and they put it up on the big screen, and it said underneath it, "Ice cold player of the game," Russell Westbrook.
Yes.
So the Kings just trolled the crap out of Westbrook.
Honestly, we need more of this. We need more of this. Because, and you know, it,
LeBron will get on his high horse. He's like, there's no place for this in the game. We our guys are working hard, and we need to be
respectful. You know it's coming.
Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no, you know it's coming. It's like, this is such a degradation of who we are.
You know, these guys, if anybody knew the sacrifice, and for us to be treated like this, shut up.
Whatever happened to having fun?
Exactly. Have some fun, for crying out loud. Did you see...
this was good, clean fun.
You see Devin Booker. They're playing in Toronto, and Devin Booker is shooting a free throw. Nobody's in the arena except
that.
The mascot, who's having some fun.
The Raptor.
And Devin Booker starts yelling at the Raptor, get him out of here. Like, the mascot's getting under your skin.
The Raptor jumped and wiggled in the air.
How
it was hilarious.
How skinned of a moron are you if you're letting the Raptor get under your skin, for crying out loud?
Well, you got to remember now, NBA players have been given some leeway. Like, you're seeing people chased out of arenas. You're seeing people taken out of their seats and booted out of arenas. And if a player complains about you, you're gone. No, there are some things.
There's some that are deserved.
Darn
a lot
right.
of it's deserved.
Darn right. There's,
but this,
no. The Raptor got sent to the corner of the arena.
Yeah.
He got put on timeout for jumping and wiggling when. it was hilarious.
Yeah.
But that's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a this is good, clean fun. You're as cold as, and then ice cold player of the game. And I think that there might have been like a Coors displacement with
Should
it or
be.
Something. You know, have a little bit of fun. And guess what? If you're Westbrook and you go to that arena next time, remember it and shove it down their throat.
Go, if you're capable of it, go 10 of 13, score 40 points, and put it on them.
Yeah, this is fun stuff to me.
All right. Jeremy, spin it. Dressing like the GOAT, that's going to cost you.
So, have you seen the Brady line? Did you know there's a new Brady line of clothing?
Oh, jeez.
Tom Brady released his line early yesterday morning. And it says Brady on it. So, like on the shirts, there's a little Brady across the shoulder. On the hats, it's a Brady.
Yeah.
And it's Lululemon-like prices. And
Lululemon and pricey.
Well, yeah, I know this because I just bought Lululemon for Christmas for my wife.
Yeah.
And that was a mistake because I guess I'll be buying Lululemon for the rest of my life.
So like an offshoot, like, you know, like the cheap, like Lolo Lime or something like that, or like.
Lolo Lime.
Like, I'm just like, is there like a.
Baby, look.
A knockoff.
You it's know? A Lolo Lime. What? It's a cousin to the Lululemon.
It's just as good.
don't buy your wife Lululemon because it's over.
Because once you get it, there's no going back.
Yeah. Like, it's a totally different experience. She's just ooh-dodding. It does look really good on her. Like, you know.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying. It's
calm down there, it's cowboy.
It's a nice fit.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that she's comfortable in it.
Yeah.
But it's $100 for a pair of those, those tights.
100 bones for one of those things?
Yeah, just those little yoga tights pants.
Yeah?
Yeah. 100 bucks.
Those things probably cost like what? 10 bucks to make.
$2.50.
Yeah.
But about the same as a large Coke from McDonald's probably.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of syrup and a sewing machine later and you got a pair.
Oh my goodness. We got in the wrong business.
Oh, I know. I know. But anyways, so for a Tom Brady jacket, just a rain jacket, it's $350. For some little short joggers, Brady short joggers, $160.
Jeez.
For just the base short sleeve T-shirt, just a base T-shirt, like something you'd get in Hawaii, 3 for $10.
Yeah.
It's $75.
Wow.
For a Brady tee.
Yeah, that's unnecessary and stupid. Is there, I mean, look, Peyton Manning Hawks product, you're like, yeah, it's fun. Tom Brady isn't, like, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, but as a pitch man, not interested in anything he's hawking.
No, I'm not either, and I don't know if, like, this is his idea. You got to remember, his wife's a fashionista.
Oh, yeah.
And I could see Giselle being like, Tom being like, hey, honey, you know those Uggs I had when I'm holding that baby goat? I should make some of those and sell them. And her being like, we're going to make them, we're going to sell them for $350 per.
Not the Tom Brady line coming to a Walmart near you.
No, this is not. This is not the Bon Marché Tom Brady. Do you remember the Bon Marché?
Oh yeah, back in, absolutely.
You're not going to go to the Bon Marché and find.
Is that place even around anymore?
I don't even know.
We're going back to school shopping. No, I don't want to. Oh, go to the Bon Marché.
Oh, going to the Bon Marché, man. Holy cow, I knew I was going to look like a square box.
Yep.
And I knew I'd hate everything. And it would shrink.
Oh, yeah, one trip through the washer.
Oh, man, it would shrink and you'd be like, I know I'm growing, but why am I spilling out of these jeans? Tom Brady's line. The fashion's nice, but I don't want to wear Brady's name on me.
No. Your mom would be like, hey, it's time to work in a salad maybe. Like, thanks, Mom.
Appreciate you.
All right. One more. Jeremy Spinnett. The moratorium continues to be lifted. I thought you'd like this. Logan Paul recently purchased a box of Pokemon trading cards.
Are we doing another Logan Paul story? Yeah. I'm all in on these, just so you know.
Well, this is fun because it didn't end well for him.
Oh, okay.
A first edition sealed case of Pokemon cards. Guess how much it cost him.
Okay, hold on. Because we just did the Pokemon Go yesterday. Story where the officers chased a Pokemon Go creature instead of answering a call to a robbery in progress.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's an unopened box.
Yep, and I don't know how old these are, first edition. I don't know when the Pokemon cards came out.
Okay, an unopened box, first edition Pokemon.
Yep.
I'm going to say $800.
$3.5
million. Oh, shut your mouth.
Nope, $3.5
million. For cards?
For Pokemon cards, yes. The cards inside, which if you were just to take the packs that were in cards and sell them individually, would have gone for about $2.3 million. It was sold to him by a high-end card dealer named Matt Allen, who said he bought the case for $2.7 million. There is a firm called BBCE that verified that the case was real and that the sealing, they looked at the sealing and said that looks legit.
Okay.
Everything was good. So they gave it their seal of approval. But they wanted to go further and ensure that this was indeed, these were real cards, that these weren't fraudulent. So he pays his money.
Gets his box.
The firm that verified that this appeared to be very real, they opened it up, and it was packed with not Pokemon first edition cards, but just a bunch of G.I. Joe cards that are worth about $1.66 a pack. There were 216 packs in it that gave him a grand total of a value of $359.
Oh, he stuck with it? Nobody insured this?
I do not believe so, but I'm sure, like all things Logan Paul, I'm sure that there were some shenanigans going on here.
Oh,
I don't believe anything,
man,
when it comes to Logan
he
Paul.
He got punked.
I 100% hope this story is real.
Although, you know, you and I would be stoked if we bought a Pokemon box and had G.I. Joe cards.
I know. I'd be like, hot damn.
Yeah, baby. The Baroness.
Yeah.
Yeah, Destro. Oh, Goldhead Destro.
Snake Eyes.
Dang, Duke. Baby.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know, I loved G.I. Joe. Loved him. Well, as far as toys are concerned, number one toy of my childhood, G.I. Joe. Number two, He-Man. But I played with G.I. Joe and He-Man until they just wore out and broke in half.
I watched the...
I love those little toys so much.
Me and my 10-year-old watched the new He-Man series on Netflix.
There's
a brand new one, yeah.
I didn't know there's a new one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention my third favorite because you guys always make fun of me.
My Little Pony.
No, it's not my Little Pony, and it's that's dumb. Don't start rumors.
Well, you did have a Cabbage Patch.
That was my third.
Okay,
but
I don't. I don't think that's much better than My Little Pony.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot better. A lot of boys had Cabbage Patch.
No, not a lot.
Yes, they did.
No, they did not.
I was six, man. I was six through ten, so, eight, nine.
Okay. 12.
No, not 12. 12, I was in the He-Man and G.I. Joe.
Did you have that? What was that? My
Don't
buddy?
Don't bag on me, man.
My buddy.
I'm going to find out something about you. You had a toy. I know that you're not exactly out there.
That one I can feel pretty safe in saying you're not going to dig up any dirt on
did
me.
Did you have a Teddy Ruxpin?
I did not have a Teddy Ruxpin. I actually did ask for a Teddy Ruxpin, but I never got it. And I was really,
they're expensive.
I was really disappointed.
Idaho boys didn't get Teddy
Ruxpin. We didn't
Ruxpin.
Get Teddy Ruxpin, no.
You got a chicken.
Yeah, and you'd like
it. You'd raise and butcher later.
With your bare hands.
Don't name it. You'll get attached yeah. to it.
All right, coming up, we'll wrap things up, get you ready for Unrivaled, which apparently doesn't like us anymore.
Well,
I thought we apparently had a good run for a couple months, but everybody on Twitter saying Unrivaled was coming hard on us yesterday. 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Aaron Rodgers is terrific.
Aaron Rodgers is very mad.
That'd be weird. Wins the Super Bowl and bolts. But that's his style.
That's totally his style.
He would love to do that.
He would love to do that.
He's never going to be happy wherever
Still
he goes.
Still going to be.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Wrapping up another edition of the show. Big thanks to everyone who joined us. Vinny Iyer, also earlier in the show, had a chance to chat with Kurt Keelan as well. Remember, if you missed any of our conversations yesterday, you can go to our podcasting feed. Just search Hans and Scotty, whether you're on Spotify, whatever the case is. You can get the interview we had with David Cantor, the agent of Eric Weddle. Fun conversation on how that thing got put together. Also had a chance to chat with Sione Buha, who's stepping away from the game of football. And former defensive lineman coach at University of Utah.
And fantastic guy. That was a great conversation. To hear somebody walking away from probably he was right around $350 a year maybe or so.
It's a pretty good chunk of change to walk away from.
Yeah, that's a public number. I don't know exactly where his contract was being in his fourth year. But Sione walking away because he wanted to be more a part of his family's life as things are kind of his kids are graduating, going on missions and getting older. And he said that that was the biggest inspiration for him to leave the game. But
that's when you know you got a little NFL money in your pocket, because those are the signs where you need to work more, because those things aren't cheap.
I know that life starts to get really expensive at that point. Scotty, the other thing I wanted to mention is tonight, 9 o'clock tip on ESPN2, you get to watch BYU take on Gonzaga. Gonzaga, the number two team in the country. Obviously, BYU has had some ups and downs this season already, some big-time ups and some big-time downs. But this is going to be a really good game tonight. Should be a really good game tonight. Or do you think that this is just a bad game tonight and Gonzaga is going to embarrass them?
I don't think they're going to get embarrassed. I would be a bit surprised if BYU won this game, but hey, you know, regular season, BYU's had a ton of success against Gonzaga. It's that conference tournament that seems to get in their way a bit.
It's always the conference tournament. The three losses BYU's had so far this year, they lost to UVU.
Hey, UVU's a good team.
Are they?
Yeah.
They lost to Creighton and Vanderbilt.
And Creighton, as we mentioned, Creighton's a really good team. Hold on, let me.
I thought UVU has been having some struggles as of late.
And maybe they have, but let me let's go see what UVU has been up to. They did lose to Seattle. They did lose to Abilene Christian, but they have beaten Washington.
That's a good win.
But yeah, Abilene and Seattle aren't particularly great.
In the long run,
losses for them.
That UVU loss is gonna be an ugly one for them. But a win against Gonzaga would go a long way for them tonight.
I mean, UVU, if you look at the KenPom numbers, they're 128. That's not awful.
It's not terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a tier four loss that a lot of schools might have. You know, it's not gonna burn your resume. Let's just say that. That's not awful.